Ezekiel Elliott, and he's got an opening. Elliott, off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown! Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye!
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
Hello and welcome back to a big time episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass, and it is officially game week. We are Michael Thomas days away from the kickoff, 3 days away. It honestly doesn't even feel real, Cass, but here we are, man. It's a great feeling.
I don't know what I'm going to feel tomorrow when I walk up to the shoe at 7:30 in the morning tomorrow for Fox. I mean, it's going to feel weird knowing that this is the first game of the season at the end of October, but it's going to be a lot of fun too. I've been waiting on this week for a long time, and we are back. Request for our 9th national championship, our 4th straight Big Ten title of the year, and standing in the way, it's been, hold on, I'm going to do a little bit of math here. Hang on just a second.
Gotta bring out the calculator.
Yeah. Trying to look up how many days since the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, that feels like 5 years ago.
297 days.
So it'll be 300 days officially, I think, by kickoff, because we're Michael Thomas days.
Since the Fiesta Bowl, when we lost to Clemson. And boy, am I ready. Boy, am I jacked. It's going to be a great feeling. And standing in the way is Nebraska.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do get Nebraska first. All the love that, you know, we had with the fans on the off season, it is kind of going out the window for the next few days. And then after that, we'll be lovey-dovey again. But Nebraska is test number one. This episode, we're obviously going to dedicate to, you know, previewing the game. And then we'll do our dumb picks. But let's just jump right into it, Cass, man. I mean, you're going to be there Saturday. What are you going to expect to see from the Buckeyes this Saturday?
Well, real quick, real history question between Ohio State and Nebraska. Ohio State is 7-1 all time against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, which is shocking, honestly, between the two of the top, I think, 8 winningest programs in college football history. Combined national championships, there is 11 for Nebraska. No, 5 for Nebraska, 13 combined national championships between the Buckeyes and Cornhuskers. Ohio State has a 72.9% all-time record percentage, and Nebraska has a 69%. Both teams are over 900 victories. Ohio State at 924, second in the nation, just trailing Michigan. And Nebraska is 9th all-time, and Nebraska has 46 conference championships. By the way, none of those are in the Big Ten. Ohio State has 38 coming off three straight and 50 bowl games. And Nebraska is ranked fourth all time in bowl games with 53. Ohio State's ninth. So a little history between the two teams. What I'm looking forward to is the Buckeyes to come out with a fast start. I think they've been waiting for this for a long time since, you know, the season got canceled and then brought back. I think in my opinion, normally you see teams, if they win the toss, they defer to the second half. I feel like the Buckeyes don't defer and they take the ball and then go right away and score on the first drive.
So looking at this game, I mean, it's going to be Saturday, looking at the weather report, at least it's going to be high 51, low 40 degrees, no rain, sunny with some partial clouds, like a good late October day, nice fall weather, great for football. It's going to be a little cold, but not too bad. So I don't think weather's going to be a huge issue. But I agree. I think Ohio State, they need to jump out to a lead. On paper, you know, the two programs, they're like you were kind of reading off before, they're storied programs. Nebraska, they were dominant. You know, they had their years in the 90s. Just a great program, but they're still kind of rebuilding. And we're going to get kind of into that right here. Just kind of looking at the rosters and breaking it down before even the show started. Just kind of looking at the rosters. The talent isn't even close, Cass. I mean, let's put it this way. Nebraska's two starting, like obviously Wandale Robinson, he's a stud. They're going to use him at receiver. They're going to play him a little bit at running back. That's what they did last year against the Buckeyes. They literally lined him up at receiver, or they lined him up at tailback. Basically, they're going to just find ways to get him the ball. But their other two receivers, Cade Warner and Chris Hickman. Cade Warner, I mean, there's no reason why this guy should have a reception against Ohio State. He is a two-star recruit. He's 6'1", 200-pound, two-star recruit. Like, BIA should handle him pretty easily.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They are starting Adrian Martinez over Dylan McCaffrey, and I think with Scott Frost looking at this, you with the lack of depth at wide receiver, because they lost J.D. Spillman and
the TCU.
TCU. McQuitty is gone too.
Stanley Morgan.
Stanley Morgan's been gone for a couple years. So Scott Frost is, you know, entering his third year. You want to use a mobile guy to establish some sort of offense. You don't want to bring a freshman quarterback in, Dylan McCaffrey, who has no experience, especially against going up against the Buckeyes. And I'm not going to sit there and say we're not going to see Dylan McCaffrey, because I feel like Adrian Martinez is going to struggle against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, and just looking at the other receiver too, his name is Chris Hickman. He didn't even record a reception last year, and he's their starting receiver. Literally, the first guy who I mentioned, I literally just completely forgot his name. Cade Warner had 8 catches, 101 yards last year.
That's a
no touchdown. He's solid. I mean, but talent wise, he just doesn't match up to what BIA has. The other receiver, Chris Hickman, he was a 3-star tight end when he got recruited. He's class of 2019. Doesn't even have a reception yet. I mean, he's 6'5", so he's tall, but he's 205 pounds, and he ran a 4.9. So unless they're going to throw him jump balls, I don't see him really being an issue either. It's really going to come down to how they're going to use Wandale Robinson. They're going to force feed him the ball just like they did last year. Last year against Ohio State, he actually did. He had 1 catch for 8 yards, and then he carried the ball 9 times for 27 yards. So they did a pretty good job of keeping the ball out of his hand. He only got the ball 10 times for a combined 35 yards. So, I mean, a guy that explosive, only averaging 3.5 yards per touch on the offensive side of the ball last year. Ohio State definitely needs to keep him in check again, but I think they have the guys to do it, and Sean Wade at least.
Oh, I agree. And you just got to look at the fact, you know, you got Adrian Martinez and Wandell Robinson, and the running backs, you don't know much about them. I'm trying to look here. McCaffrey, by the way, not Dylan McCaffrey.
Yeah, they have Ramir Johnson as their backup. He was decent last year for them because they lost Maurice Washington because I think he just transferred. He has that whole legal situation going. I'm not really sure what happened with him, but they still have their starter, Dedrick Mills, just an average, like, middle-of-the-tier Big Ten running back.
They have they do have Marvin Scott III. He's from Port Orange, Florida. He's not too shabby. Ronald Tompkins is still there, redshirt freshman from Loganville, Georgia. So it sounds like they do have some more. I feel like they got more depth at running back than they do at wide receiver.
I absolutely agree with that. They absolutely do have more depth at running back. It's just that do they have a guy who can really break a game? Who can, like, break off like a 60 or 50 yard run if he gets the ball, someone explosive like that. I don't think they really have that. I don't think that's their style in Nebraska. They have some guys who can probably get 4 or 5 yards a chunk if the line blocks well, just kind of eat up clock, protect the ball, plow forward. That's how they're going to have to attack this Ohio State team. They don't have anyone, though, who's going to break off massive runs unless Ohio State really messes up contain. That's the only reason I could see them breaking it. But, like, Ryan Day came out and said, and, like, we've been saying it, the linebackers are the strength of this team. Like, we've been calling it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, switching over to the other side of the ball, we don't know much about Nebraska's offense other than Adrian Martinez is going to have to get Wandell Robinson the ball. And Mills or Tompkins or Ramir, well, they got to find one of those guys established. Outside of that, I don't think they have the offensive line to block our defensive line. So,
no.
And it could get ugly early. And it could be a fact that where I could, you know, rethink my statement at the beginning of the game where Ohio State could just win the toss, defer, and just take it to Nebraska's offense.
I don't think he's going to be a game changer, but their tight end's decent. Jack Stoll, he was a good player. He's been a good player, but, I mean, it's a tight end. They're not probably going to utilize him that much. I mean, like, they don't have the talent, I think, at least the star power to go up against this Ohio State team. They're just not there yet. This is only, you know, Scott Frost hasn't been there long enough to get his guys really in there and start like he's obviously had a couple of years to develop them now, but he hasn't had enough time to get, you know, there's so much recruiting you have to do to catch up to what Ohio State has, you know, established here. And they are still light years behind, unfortunately. And just like, it's crazy. I'm like, I honestly didn't realize how much star power Ohio State had until I compared what Nebraska has to Ohio State. And Nebraska is a great program. They're much better off than I would say probably the majority of programs in the country. They have good infrastructure, good coaching, good history. And Ohio State, just like when it comes to recruiting wise, it's completely different. It's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, the defense – the defense of Ohio State, so they swarm to the football. And the thing is if Nebraska is going to win this game or even come close to playing, being competitive, just by reading several of these skimming through a couple articles through here that I have, you know, College Football News, 11 Warriors, they're all saying Dedrick Mills has to get going for Nebraska.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably one of the big, most important players for them. I would absolutely agree with that. I can't get all over the recruiting, but like just the past few years, like 2018, Ohio State, number second in the country. Nebraska, they're all the way at 23rd. 2019, it got a little close. I think that just had to do with Urban kind of leaving. Not that we had a bad class, but Ohio State was like 14, according to 247. Nebraska was 17. And then this year, 2020, it was just, you know, Ohio State 5, Nebraska still 20. So it's – and then obviously you kind of look at what Urban did. Just it's – the recruiting-wise, it's no contest.
Yeah, and they're bringing in a new offensive coordinator, Troy Walters. They agreed to part ways, more like he was fired. I hate when they say mutually agreed to part ways. 72nd nationally ranked points per game at 28, and he's now the wide receivers coach at the Bengals. No wonder. And Matt Lubick is the guy is new. He was co-offense coordinator at Washington most recently, son of former Colorado State coach Sonny Lubick, and he left Washington in 2018 to return to Fort Collins to work on a credit union, but opted to return to help Scott Frost this year. He was on that Oregon team that lost to Ohio State. Both Scott Frost and Lubick were a part of the offensive group. But yeah, Ohio State. I mean, it's going to get pretty ugly, I think, pretty quick.
It really is. Like, obviously, Adrian Martinez, he's a star of this program. I mean, he was their top recruit in 2018. He's going to have a day. Last year, he really struggled passing the ball. Now, given they did – Okuda had an unreal game, had that one crazy interception on his back, and then the other one, I believe it was against Wandale Robinson. And then, obviously, Fuller had an interception. But – it's just it really was just a rough day for Adrian Martinez last year. He was 8-for-17 for 47 yards, 3 picks, had a QBR of 11.7. That's pretty atrocious. Rushing the ball, he was all right. He had 15 carries, 81 yards. He had a 56-yard rush, but he also fumbled one. So, I mean, it was just You can't have that if he's supposed to be the face of your program. You just can't get that out of your number one quarterback. Nebraska fans know that too. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if Scott Frost is going to – if it gets ugly, will Scott Frost kind of swap him out for McCaffrey? That's my question.
That is the question, and that'll be the unknown question if Martinez struggles and the Buckeyes continue to, you know, play very, very stout defense. Now, however, the good thing for Nebraska is on the defensive side. They're bringing in their top 6 tacklers, Will Honus, Colin Miller, and Jojo Domain, the linebackers. Mm-hmm. Their safeties, Markel Dismoke and Cam Taylor-Britt, and along with starting cornerback DiCaprio Boodle.
They also have their other starter, too. Who actually played a decent game last year. What's his name? Cam Taylor-Britt. He did have a bad penalty against KJ Hill, but I was kind of watching the film, and he actually played a decent game.
Well, it looks like Taylor-Britt moved to safety.
Yeah, he might have, but, I mean, he was still – I was watching him play, and I was like, this guy's a good player. He was definitely getting his nose dirty in the run game, actually made – I think had a sack. A couple tackles for loss. Wasn't terrible in coverage against KJ Hill other than the penalty. I really do think the secondary is probably Nebraska's strong suit right now. Because like you were saying, they do have Markel Dismuke. He was a 4-star safety, so he's a good player. DiCaprio Boodle, he's been there for a while. He's always flashed at times. And then you have the man who I was just referring to before, Cam Taylor-Britt. Yeah. So I think secondary, believe it or not, I think they do match up decently against this receiving core. Now, it's hard to match up against Ohio State's receiving core, but they're definitely going to be one of the better secondaries Ohio State will face this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but I think with the experience with Justin Fields, that offensive line, they'll be able to establish the run. I don't think they're dangerous up front. Yeah, they got those three linebackers could tackle, but I mean, you're that's great. Your linebackers are your leading tacklers, but if you can't, if they're not getting any TFLs, it's going to be in for a long day, especially how explosive Trey Sermon is and the unknown of Master Teague. I know we saw last year, but the Achilles injury, you never know. He could look great in practice, but you'd still never know. I still think Trey Sermon is going to get the nod as the starter just because, he's got more – believe it or not, he's got more experience than Master Teague.
But, he does.
But I think this offense is just – there's so many weapons. And I think early on Nebraska will hang, but I think once Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson and in the offense, Daniels gets going, this Ohio State's going to have no problem.
People forget, though, Master Teague had a crazy game last year for, like, the amount of time he played. He had 12 carries, 77 yards, two touchdowns, had a catch for 28 yards. So, in total, he was averaging roughly eight yards per touch on offense. And then, obviously, he didn't get the ball on kickoff or anything like that. He was a killer against Nebraska. So, I know you like Sermon. I would like, as long as Teague's healthy, I would like to see him get the nod again just because I think he played so well against Nebraska last year. I mean, that was, I think, really his coming out party last year, Teague, because that was a game everyone's like, ooh, this guy needs some more touches. So I think he's in for a big day. And, I mean, like, Nebraska, they don't really – I don't think they have – like you were kind of mentioning, they don't have the beef up front. Like, that JoJo Doman, he was recruited as a safety. Like, he was like a three-star safety. So, like, I'm not saying he's not a bad player, but I don't think he's not a tough Borland run stopper, in my opinion. Nebraska, I mean, they do have some beef. They have Damian Daniels, their defensive tackle. He's probably their best interior guy. He's like 6'1", 315 pounds, big dude, good player last year. For Nebraska, he had a couple of sacks, an interception. He's kind of like their do-it-all guy in the middle. And then they're probably their best rusher is Ben Still. He had a couple sacks for them last year, but it's these guys are just undersized compared to what Ohio State goes up against in practice against the ones or even the twos. So I mean, it's
they're completely undersized when it comes to the Ohio State offensive line, who averages 6'5", 315.
There's no reason why this offensive line should not be blowing them off the ball, especially if they're angry and motivated, which I know they're angry because the whole Big Ten fiasco, and I know they're motivated because it's the first game of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. There ain't much weakness, in my opinion, on this Ohio State football team compared to Nebraska. However, with COVID, the unknown of what this season could bring, it's hard to tell. But I think just the way this Ohio State football team is going to be motivated at home, in the shoe, in front of their parents, with no Bruce, no band, no cheerleaders, the Buckeyes will still find a way to get motivated and get ready for this game.
I absolutely agree. And I'm pulling up the lines right now. I believe it was a 21.5 point spread last time I looked. I want to see how it changed for this one. I believe last year, I think it was like a 28 point spread. So this year they actually, they actually made it a little closer.
I think Ohio, due to COVID.
It's already down to 26.5. So it's about right where it was last year, about a 2-point difference. The over on this one is 67.5.
Ooh, I'm taking the over. Mm-hmm. Wait, no. I'm taking
Nebraska's
the
under.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, 68. I mean, Nebraska's got it last year. they didn't even touch it. I mean, it was last year. It was they scored total 55 total points. And now they're saying there's going to be 13 more points to hit the over. I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so either.
You would like to see it, but
so speaking of Nebraska, so the whole thing, before we get into our predictions and keys to the victories, let's break down a Nebraska schedule in the timeline of Nebraska. Big Ten football gets canceled. Nebraska is one of the teams that are lobbying. They sue the Big Ten. And then Big Ten comes back, says, okay, Nebraska, you want to play? Here's your punishment, okay? Granted, this is the original schedule that every team was going to play, except for minus one game. They just, you know, gave everybody the same schedule, but maybe not the same order. But they said, okay, Nebraska, you're going to play. You're going to play at Ohio State and then home against Wisconsin, at Northwestern, and Penn State at home for your first four games. You better buck up your chin straps, Huskers, because as bad as Northwestern was last year and the unknown of what they're going to be this year, they're still tough out in Evanston. That's no tougher four-game stretch in the Big Ten than I can think of.
You know what, though? I think they could split it still. They're not going to beat Ohio State, obviously. I could see them beating Wisconsin at home just because Wisconsin's kind of in a rebuilding year. I think if they gain some confidence against Ohio State, play a good game, play well, I could totally see them beating Wisconsin. I think they'll beat Northwestern. They'll lose to Penn State. Then they play Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, Minnesota. I mean, realistically, I would say 4-4 in the conference, maybe 5-3.
I'm going 3-5. I don't think they beat Wisconsin. I think they beat Northwestern. I think they struggle to beat Illinois. They won't beat Iowa, and they won't beat Minnesota.
They'll beat Northwestern, Illinois, Purdue, no problem. I think they could beat Wisconsin and Iowa, and even Minnesota. They're not beating Penn State or Ohio State. I think realistically,
Minnesota.
I'm putting them at 4-4. If everything rolls their favor and they have if they go 5-3, it's a great season. Like
they go 4-4, it's a great season in my opinion. I got them 3-5.
We'll see. I think they go 4-4. I have a little more faith in them. I don't think they're that bad.
Okay, I'll give them 4-5 because they'll win their consolation prize.
Oh, right, true.
Against Maryland.
That's right. They'll probably play. Well, yeah, you play whatever. So they're not going to go to the Big Ten Championship. Second seed will probably be Penn State. They're not going to be second. Third would be probably Michigan.
They'll play Indiana or Maryland.
Yeah.
Or Michigan State.
It's probably going to be Indiana, if I had to guess.
And Indiana needs we got a couple weeks before we play Indiana. But I say 3-5. You say 5-3, 4-4 for Nebraska. I say 5-3, 4-4 if they could get a lucky game, man.
Yeah, it's tomato, tomato. At the end of the day, they're not winning a national championship or a Big Ten title this year. It really doesn't matter.
They're probably going in the Insight Bowl.
Which, I mean, it's cool for them. Yeah, no problem. I'll be cheering for them. Let's get into the keys of the game, though, Cass. I mean, what are your keys to this game?
My keys to the game is I've never seen anybody shotgun a freaking Diet Coke.
I've been living off these babies. I know.
I look at the screen and I'm like, what the heck?
I was just chugging my Coke, man. Like, and for the audience out there, I'm doing a sober October. No beer until I'm drinking my first beer. We're going to have a tailgate, you know, not this week, next week at Cass's place. It's the first time in a month I'll be having a beer. So right now I'm just shotgunning Diet Cokes to just give me something. I don't know.
So keys to the victory is just don't let off the gas. No, as Anthony Schlegel says on Morning Juice, all gas, no brakes. Just go. I mean, you're going to have to – the style points are going to have to happen this year, believe it or not. You're going to have to beat teams 70-7 like Clemson did. So I don't – like people are saying, oh, Clemson was classless for putting up – no. Alabama was playing Georgia that night, and they had to make a statement to stay at number one.
Yeah.
I don't blame Clemson. Clemson knows the schedule is soft in front of them. We'll get more into the stupid AP poll after we do the keys to victory.
Oh, don't get me started.
And other Big Ten news and what that team up north's doing. We don't know what I got a bone to pick with a former wide receiver for the team up north. But all gas, no brakes. Get Master Teague and Trey Sermon going. Defense, I know I'm gonna steal Zach Smith's thing, but no missed tackles under 5. Tackle. Wanda Robinson is fast. So is Adrian Martinez. We've seen it. Keep Martinez so they bring in McCaffrey. That's my thing is heat up the frost is what I'm going to call it. Heat up the frost. Basically get Scott Frost so heated that he has to pull Adrian Martinez and put Luke McCaffrey in.
Frost. That's a good one.
Like I said, don't miss tackles, all gas, no brakes. Score a lot of touchdowns.
I like it. I mean, my keys to victory are pretty – I have like 2 or 3, nothing crazy. Just number one, when it comes to the passing attack, let's keep it simple to start at least the first half. There's going to be a lot of mistakes. People are probably still not going to be on the same – it's week one. Like it's still – I know they've had so long to get everything fine-tuned, but it's a game. There's going to be – receivers might not be on the same page. It's a young group of receivers. Don't make Justin Fields do anything crazy. Not that he doesn't have the ability to, but like, let's not, you know, throw an unnecessary pick on the first or second drive and, you know, give Nebraska hope. Let's really make some good decisions with the football early. I know it's all about style points, but it's also about winning. And I think like, let's just not, you know, if we just crush Nebraska's hopes early, we don't have to worry about it for the rest of the game. Number two, let's establish that defensive line. You know, I want to really see who's going to step up with Chase Young gone, and whether it be in stopping the run game or, you know, Adrian Martinez, that defensive line, I need to see there's, you know, Sack Harrison, Tommy Toyogi, Tyler Friday, Jonathan Cooper, Tyreek Smith, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Whoever's playing, Haskell Garrett might play, I heard too. He's probable. Whoever's playing, just like, I want to see someone step up, and we got to at least stop Adrian Martinez running the ball.
Exactly.
And my final key of the game is just, let's just make sure when it comes to running the ball, we kind of find who our guy is early. We feed the hot hand. So whether it be Trey Sermon or Master Teague, it doesn't matter to me who gets to start. I would like to see Teague get to start, but you know, if one guy's ripping off, you know, 10-yard runs a pop, keep feeding the man. It's a short season, so we don't have time to pad stats. We don't have time to play politics with the football. Like, oh, he needs more carries. Like, let's just feed the hot hand that day, and then whoever's playing better gets more carries.
Like them. What's the score? What's your score?
Score. I'm gonna go with 55-17.
I'm going 48.
Fuck, guys.
I'm going 48-7.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It'll be 8-7.
I like it.
Just don't trust Nebraska's offense at all. So.
But it's going to be a good one. I think all Buckeye Nation and Cornhusker Nation, it's going to be a good day Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And I can't wait to talk about this resounding Ohio State victory and, you know, who really stepped up on next week's show. But regardless of that, it's time for my favorite segment. Just let's bitch about the AP poll because it is.
We also got the Cardale Jones tweet of the week on top of the AP poll, which we kind of tweeted the AP poll out. So if that can count. So before we bitch about the AP poll, there's this Penn State troll that is a completely tool bag. He also thinks that next week, Ohio State, Penn State's going to slaughter. Hold on. I think when they announced the game that it was going to be a 7:30, I think I sent it to AP, my buddy. No, I didn't. But anyways, he says that Penn State next week is going to beat Ohio State 48-7. Then he comes out and today and says, if you root for a college football team that you didn't go to school for, then you are not an elite fan, period. Apparently, I'm not an elite fan.
Apparently, we're also biased.
Yes, that too. But let's talk about that. I don't want to. We'll talk about the Penn State guy next week. Let's talk about Twitter and this stupid guy from, was it College Football News or whatever?
Yeah, College Football Home or whatever. I don't. There's a million of these types of accounts, but. Long story short, this is how me and Cass got into a Twitter feud because I think that we need to kind of explain this one. So this guy from College Football, wherever, Home or whatever, tweets, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence are the two best quarterbacks in the country. And I just quote tweet, go, what about Justin Fields? And he goes, not even close. And I'm like, bro, like, have you watched the games? Like, I don't understand the group of people that just blindly hate on Justin Fields. I don't get it at all. Cause I watched it. Like if you watch the tape, what is the flaw of Justin Fields' game? Show me a flaw. Like I'm just very curious. Like
when he's running and diving, ball security.
I'll give you that.
That's about it.
He does like that stupid weird rollout. If you ever notice, he rolls out and like does a weird spin. That's the only thing. I mean, that's correctable, though. That's just like a stupid, like,
style he does. He's always done that.
Yeah. But accuracy-wise, arm strength-wise, athleticism-wise, he's a stud. Like, yeah. You could say Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields are the three best quarterbacks, but
why Mac Jones is good?
Because he has all the weapons.
Devontae Smith.
Jalen Waddle,
Najee Harris, a freaking offensive line that's like trees, just like Justin Fields. I mean, and Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones. Yeah, he's good. But if you're looking at Justin Fields and Mac Jones, just the two of them, Mac Jones ain't mobile.
It's also if you put Justin Fields on Alabama, they're so much better. If you put Mac Jones on Ohio State, we suck. We don't suck.
We still win the Big Ten.
But we probably might lose a game. We might drop a game.
Yeah. I mean, then I tweet back at him and say, it has been determined or something like that.
The Maury thing.
I said, you claim that you know college football, but that has been determined that was a lie. He comes back out says something about have a nice podcast or something about a biased podcast, and that's when you know our fans out there say, you know, Did you know they were biased? Did you know we were biased?
I had no idea that we were biased. And I literally quote tweeted this guy. It's, by the way, his username is CFB Central CFP. CFP Central, so College Football Central. He goes, "Thanks, buddy. Hope your podcast is good. I would bet it's really biased." And I quote to you, goes, "That is literally the point of our podcast. If you think a podcast called The Bunch of Nuts Podcast is anything less than two crazy dudes talking about Ohio State, then IDK, what to tell you, LOL." Like, I'm sorry. Like if you guys haven't like figured out right now, like, I think the goal of this show is like, we want to be like the people who call into Paul Feinbaum's show, just like being like, "Bambo didn't play anybody." Like, just those crazy people living in a trailer park.
Except
we're the Ohio State version of that. So yes, yeah. We are obviously biased. Like, I have a degree. Cass is a fake elite fan, apparently. But we're biased. And I honestly, I'm not afraid to say it. Like, we love the Buckeyes.
When it comes to me being a fake elite fan, I will challenge anybody on Ohio State history for football besides Jack Park, because I ain't winning that. Jack Park's not even a freaking Ohio State grad.
He's a fraud.
He's not elite. He's not elite.
We just need to get you an honorary degree. I think we can get Tennessee Jeff to pull some strings. Tennessee Jeff isn't even he's a fake fan, actually. Imagine how
guy.
Yeah. Think about that. Just that's what's so ridiculous about
that.
You
know what? Like, I'm sending this message to Tennessee Jeff as we speak right now.
Like, just think about that. Like you obviously, if you're a Buckeye, like, I don't care if you went to the school or not. It's just crazy. Some people need to grow up. That guy probably didn't even go to Penn State.
And Penn State fans are getting bad, really bad. I can't wait to expose them next week.
I know. Speaking of exposure, we're going to do the AP poll segment or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me just take a drink of water because I'm about to go off. Okay. This is what really bothers me about the AV poll and the coaches poll. I understand Clemson.
Alabama.
They're number one. I understand Alabama. I don't understand why Ohio State is not a top three team. I can understand Clemson. I can understand Alabama. That's fine. Even if we did play, I still understand that the voters are still probably going to put them above us. It's just the way it's been. I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the fact that Georgia just lost a game. Like, they just got absolutely destroyed. Like, Stetson Bennett is terrible. He is he is hot garbage. He missed, like, if you watch that one drive, he missed, like, three wide open passes in the end zone, and like Alabama was blowing coverages left and right too, and he just missed like three or four wide open receivers in the back of the end zone. He missed a couple deep balls. He's terrible. Georgia got their break speed off, and they still are in the top four. Notre Dame hasn't looked good at all. They almost lost to Duke. They almost lost to Louisville. They have not played well at all this year. And just because they're Notre Dame and they're undefeated, they're a top four team? Absolutely not. You cannot be joking. Like, I know Ohio State hasn't played a game, and I know there's that stupid sector out there of people that are like, "Well, we're not going to reward people who haven't played." But that's such a crock of crap, because literally they put Bama and Georgia in the AP poll weeks before they were playing. They took Ohio State and all the Big Ten teams out, and they kept the SEC teams in, even though they weren't slated to play for another two or three weeks. So there is an absolute bias to this thing. And I'm mad. I am absolutely mad, because there's no reason on paper. Ohio State was number two in the country before all this stuff happened. before Kevin Warren, before the presidents botched this whole situation, and they move Ohio State out, they move us back, and now we're five? Like, why are we getting penalized? If we're a good team, we were there in the first place. We should have been number two in the first place. You want to move us down to number three because you like Alabama? Fine. Don't move us down anymore because Notre Dame is terrible and they're playing a cupcake schedule. Don't move us down because Georgia lost the game and you just like the SEC more and it's a quality loss. Like, when we beat Nebraska this week by 50 points and we're not top three, I'm going to be even – you think I'm mad now? I'm going to be twice as mad. It's going to be a bad day for the AP voters. And it just shows you how ridiculous these polls are. And Rand.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Notre Dame won 12-7 to a team that got blown out by Miami. Clemson blew out Miami. I am tired of the AP poll voters trying to justify the fact that these half-assed bullcrap ACC and SEC teams, it's a one-team race in the ACC, and it's a one-team race in the SEC. Don't give me this bullcrap that Georgia and Notre Dame are these great football teams. They're not.
It's what the AP poll does, and I think it's so clear. If you've been paying attention for college football throughout your whole life, it's the most obvious thing. They just vote to make the regular season games better. Like, they just vote. They frame the AP poll. So, like, if you have a big matchup coming up, like Miami versus Clemson, they'll make Miami rank. They'll inflate Miami's ranking.
Look at North Carolina.
North Carolina. Or, like, Texas A&M. They'll purposely inflate rankings of teams to drive attention on TV. It's obvious. Like, just watch. Like, if you haven't noticed this, and now I'm pointing this out to you, please watch this. Because they're going to do it. They'll do it for Ohio State, too. Don't get me wrong. They've done it for us in the past. But it's really more with the SEC teams. Like, they're keeping Georgia's ranking high. Even though they're not a top four team at all, they're hot garbage. They are not good. Like, that defense got shredded by Bama.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I will guarantee this: Ohio State wins big this Saturday. They're jumping Ohio State over Notre Dame and Georgia, and people are going to go ballistic. Oh, they've only played one game, but guess what? At least we played a team that's probably better than freaking Louisville.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Go ahead.
I'm done. No, you got
it. I'm done too. By the way, you know what that team up north up to?
What are they up to?
Nico Collins.
What did he do?
Opted out 5 days before the season started. Nico Collins, like their best receiver. Like how? What a dick. Like, oh, by the way, I'm going to play. Like, I'm going to practice with my team, get timing with the new Cam Newton and Joe Milton. I'm going to get all this timing. Oh, wait, I'm going to opt out.
He did say this, though, about Joe Milton. He says he 100% agrees that he has number one pick potential. So just keep your eye on that, Joe Milton, future number one pick.
Do they still have Ronnie Bell? What happened to Ronnie Bell?
They have Ronnie Bell. He was their leading receiver last year.
So he could drop touchdown passes this year?
Dude has stone hands.
So that's what Team Up North is doing, because that's all we've got is a fake Cam Newton – and a Nico Collins who decides 5 days before kickoff that he's going to opt out. Kind of like what Jamar Chase did at LSU. And guess what's happening to LSU? By the way,
it's not good.
Odell Beckham Jr. is banned for 2 years at LSU games.
I saw that. It's pretty funny. All right. Let's get into, as we kind of wrap up here, man, our dumb picks of the week. I think this week we're only going to do Big Ten, if correct. Strictly Big Ten in honor of the season.
I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. NC State is now ranked, people. North Carolina State at North Carolina. So keep that in mind, folks. Iowa State is 17th.
Yeah, come on. That's just, actually, okay. let's run through this baby. Let's we'll do some of the good games, but we're gonna do all the we're gonna pick all the Big Ten games. We have to. Right.
Go ahead. Friday, Illinois at Wisconsin
on big revenge game.
Wisconsin big man.
I agree. It's a revenge game. Wisconsin's going to be upset after Illinois. They didn't ruin their season last year, but they definitely ruined the national title chances for them. So give us Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Ohio State, Nebraska, we know. So we're going to replace that game with North Carolina and North Carolina State.
That's a good one. I think North Carolina
gets it done.
Yeah. I think they'll bounce back. I think Florida State, by the way, on our dumb pick last week, our dumb, like, fun, interesting pick, we called that North Carolina, Florida State. We said, keep your eye on it. And we were right. We didn't go out saying that it was a definite lock, but we said, you know, keep an eye on it. They have a quarterback, Florida State now, and we were right. And I'm just saying.
Rutgers at Michigan State.
Postponed due to COVID.
Is it really?
That's my prediction. Just postponed.
They would have done that already.
They're going to do it the day of. That's the COVID bowl. Those two teams have no intention of playing this one.
So I listen to the Michigan podcast. I don't know why I'm stupid like that. But it's actually really good. Like, the guy actually is a Michigan fan that's worth listening to.
He does a very good podcast. I'll give him that. I don't agree with his views, but it is a very entertaining show.
I agree with some of his views when it comes to Michigan.
I don't agree with his fandom, but, like, he's spot on with what he says about Michigan.
But anyways, he predicted Michigan State to lose to Rutgers. And I don't think it's going to happen, but watch out. Watch out. I got Michigan State, but I think it's going to be close.
This game's getting postponed. I am so confident. Like, I'm not even predicting. I'm not predicting a winner. There's not even a line release for this. This game is not happening. Like, I am calling this. When this game gets postponed, I'm going to be the first. Like, it's coming from my mouth. This is not happening, this game. Like, this is the Kevin Warren Bowl. Like, the first one to postpone wins this one. I'm not picking that one. It's postponed.
Oh my gosh. All right. Penn State at 3:30 against Indiana on Fox Sports 1. Indiana has been talking a lot of smack about how they're going to beat the top four Big Ten teams in the East. Give me Penn State all the way, because they're
Yeah. This is in Bloomington. My heart's telling me maybe Indiana, because they've just been talking all that smack. They have a good team this year. It is at home. And Penn State lost probably their two best players, like, just Journey Brown, just due to, I think it was like a heart problem, it sounds like.
Myocarditis.
Oh, okay. And then Micah Parsons.
But according to Penn State fans, their backup running backs are just as studly as.
Yeah, I could see that. Noah Cain. I'm going Penn State, but this is my circle this one. Keep your eye on it. Pick.
Yeah. I got Penn State also. Iowa at Purdue. Scott, Jeff Brom has COVID, don't he?
That's not stopping him. That's not.
Did stop Nick Saban.
Do you think a guy who threw a chair, in the locker room last year, who, like, broke his neck in an XFL game and returned to the sidelines is going to miss this game to COVID?
Give me Purdue, man.
Yeah, Purdue, man. I'm going Purdue here.
Upset. And then that team up north, 7:30 at Minnesota.
This is a good one.
This is going to be a good one. Game day is going to be there. Man. Give me the Gophers at home.
Give me that team up north. Give me the Joe Milton Heisman campaign kickstart.
And then, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say this is where it begins. This is where Joel Milton, he's gonna have like two passing touchdowns and like three rushing touchdowns, and those Team Up North fans are gonna be going nuts.
All right, the counter game at Ryan Field, 7:30 on BTN. The nobody cares game, Maryland at Northwestern.
Oh, that's Northwestern all day.
Yeah, give me Northwestern.
And then we got some other good ranked games, dude. And let me just filter it by ranked top 25 because there's actually a lot of games. Hold on. Let's see. Football. No, I don't want the chat score.
Actually, what do you think about tomorrow night's game? Arkansas State at Appalachian State.
That is a good one. That's actually a very good one.
I watched the Red Wolves last week.
They were electric.
Yeah. Give me App State at home, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go with App State. They're a good program, App State. They've impressed me this year. Arkansas State's explosive, though. That was such a good game against – I forgot who they played.
Georgia Southern.
It was just like – that was a shootout. That was actually a way better game than it should have been. But, yeah, give me App State. We have some really good games this weekend, though. Like – we've already picked NC State, North Carolina, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. That's a good one.
Give me the Cowboys.
I'm going to go with Iowa State. This is actually a huge game too in that conference, by the way. That is for literally, that's a first place game because Iowa State, they have a loss, but it was to Louisiana. So that was actually had no effect on the conference. I'm going with Iowa State here. I think they will play good against Oklahoma State and win that.
All right. Cincinnati at SMU.
That's a banger. That is for a potential.
College game day should have been at this one instead.
This one's going to be a very good one. This is for the potential to actually sneak into the playoff as like that group of five team.
Cincinnati's got the defense. SMU's got the offense. Oof. I want to pick the Bearcats, but something's telling me to pick SMU.
I'm going Bearcats. Defense wins championships.
Yeah, give me the Bearcats.
And then that's really it.
Just for shits and giggles, Hawaii at Fresno State, the stupid pick. Hawaii at Fresno State.
That's going to be a good one. I've missed Hawaii football. Like, there's just like.
Do they have COVID in Hawaii? What's Hawaii's COVID numbers like?
I think they locked down the island. I think it's actually decent. I couldn't imagine it being bad.
You'd think Alaska's probably got the worst because it's always cold.
Like, what I'm just excited for this weekend is obviously you got like the Khabib fight. That's going to be a big thing late night Saturday. But like, we actually have a couple late night games on now, like starting at 10:30. It's going to be amazing, folks. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. Like, we got Texas State, BYU. That's going to be a decent – I mean, Texas State stinks, but it's a ranked game at late. Potential upset alert. I don't think Texas State will win, but that's going to be a good one. Air Force, San Jose State, UNLV, San Diego State. Like, just 10 o'clock, 10:30 football on the West Coast that we're going to be up watching at 2 a.m. I cannot wait.
I can't either.
So I think that does it, unless you have any more picks you want to give out to the people.
Do you have last week's results?
I gotta go through the tape and write it down. I do not. I do not. I had to keep track.
We're going to start writing these down again because I tend to forget too.
If the listeners are listening, if you want to keep track of us, if someone keeps track and – gives me a week report from like the past 2 weeks, I'll send you a t-shirt. So no one sent me anything on Willis or whatever. So you all gotta step up. I'm looking to give away some t-shirts. See if you guys, you know, just DM us with the answers or, you know, yeah. So just stay on it, guys. I'm telling you, there's free t-shirts to anyone who can, provide us the answers to our picks last week.
By the way, we have a response from Tennessee Jeff on Deep Desai, the stupid Penn State fan. So we'll leave the podcast with this. All right, Tennessee Jeff, our good buddy, who all knows is an elite college football fan, right? Mm-hmm. Deep Desai, first of all, your name is ridiculous. So this was brought to my attention by a buddy of mine. And guys like you are really exactly why I don't get into these ridiculous groups or chat rooms. I'll keep it short because you're not worth my time. And Penn State is not on my mind until Saturday at 4. I forgot more about Ohio State than you know about Penn State. I don't know what that means, but okay. And no, I have never taken one single class at Ohio State University. Your statement is asinine, and it makes no sense. You're an idiot. After we get done pounding Nebraska, we're coming to Happy Valley to smash Penn State. We are the Ohio State.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, just everyone listen to this. Thank you so much for listening. We finally made it to the season.
Yay.
Saturday, when you wake up, crack open a nice beer, sit your butt on the couch, and let's go Bucks.
By the way, I'll be there at 2:30 a.m.
But, yeah, by the way, I don't think many other Ohio State podcasts can say this, but we're going to be at the game. Cass is going to be at the game. So, you know, he's going to see it firsthand. So I'm pumped, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. And then next week we have our first big bunch of nuts tailgate party at Big Cass's house with a pregame Twitter video with both of us for the first time all season, a halftime report, and a post game next week, depending on how many beers we are in, inside the office of Ohio State.
You're going to see a very put together pregame report, a solid like intermission, and then probably a disheveled, excited, incoherent final report, probably after I've crushed a six pack of Guinness.
I'll be drinking Busch Light, so I won't be as drunk.
Guinness is only 4.2 or something, so it's just about the same. It's just a little darker, heavier. Yes.
But first of all, 48-7 Nebraska. You got what? 55-17. We got this. Ohio State versus Nebraska this Saturday in the Shoe. Let's get it.
Go Bucks, baby.